about that. Lesson two, be a baptized membership. Bible teaches clearly after you get saved, you ought to be baptized. Then lesson three, a membership in the Lord's Supper. Matter of fact, unless you have those, you shouldn't be, unless you are, there's qualifications of taking the Lord's Supper. If you're not saved, you shouldn't have the Lord's Supper. If you're not baptized, you shouldn't have the Lord's Supper. So it's going to teach us right in order how God wants things. Amen? There's two ordinances of the church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. And you got to be saved first, then baptized, then you're qualified to do the Lord's Supper. Amen? Amen. And so then number four would be an organism, not just an organization. Like, in other words, we work as a group for God, for the cause of Christ. Amen? And then lesson five, we'll be talking about a praying membership. How important is it to pray? I'll tell you, we need, myself included, we need to pray more. Lesson six, a giving membership. God's ordained that the church is funded by his people, by tithes and offerings. Number seven, a witnessing membership. I'm going to preach on that today, about witnessing. I got a message. I'm going to preach three G's for God. Three G's for God. I'll give them to you in a little bit. Lesson eight, which Bible? God only wrote one Bible, and we'll be talking about the Bible that God wrote. And then lesson nine, which is the King James Bible. Lesson nine, biblical correctness. And then lesson 10, why are we Baptists? And so those are the topics we'll be doing. So today we'll start, turn your page, and we'll start to get in about a saved membership. Now, I've got a lot of scripture on these. Brother Art Ball put a lot of scripture, and of course, Preacher tweaked it even more. So, Dr. John Brook, when I went to Bible college, Grandma, he would teach me, we had four-hour classes with Dr. John in the book of Romans. He might spend 1 hour teaching me on one word. Jesus never ran. Even when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says Jesus came, they came walking in the, God came walking in the cool of the day. So I'm not going to just run through this to say we get done in one lesson. What I want to do is I'm going to try to take my time and show you scripture. And the entrance of thy word giveth light, the Bible says. Amen? And so he never rushed. It took him 8 months to teach that book of Romans. It takes me that long too, and because there's so much there. So let's look at lesson one, and let's look at the measuring the church by the Bible, a saved membership. How many got that? A saved membership. Okay, let's look at this. The word church actually means an assembly. In other words, it's ecclesia, called out. It's a called out assembly of born again believers. But not just a group of people who happen to feel a certain sympathy towards God. I like what he wrote there. But rather people who particularly are, number one, they're saved, they're baptized, and they're committed to follow after Christ. How many see that? And they want to follow Christ and grow in his grace. And this membership must be a saved membership. And we're going to talk to you about what a saved membership really means. But first of all, this assembly that we call our local church here, this church here is a local church, a visible local church. It's a called out assembly for God. Amen? And God wants us all, after we're saved, he wants us to grow in grace. Because as we grow in grace, the more we grow in grace, the more we can do. For instance, baby Wade. Yesterday, baby Wade is 2 years old. Can you believe baby Wade's already 2 years old? Now, he's starting to grow. Now, right now, he can't cut the grass for Wade. But someday when he gets bigger, Wade's going to say, hey, Wade, when he's big like this, get out there and cut the grass. Boy, I ain't got time. See, baby Wade's going to grow. I guarantee he's going to grow. He's going to grow like his daddy. Amen. One day he's going to sprout right up as he gets older. And the bigger, the more baby Wade grows, the more he can do for his father. And see, the more we grow in the grace of God, the more we can do for our Father. Amen? More growing Christians are going Christians. Look at the scripture he put there for you, 2 Peter. But before you get to 2 Peter, look at 1 Peter 2:2. You're going to be back there anyway, so I just threw that one in. You don't have this on your paper, but I do. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So the moment you get saved, God says, start reading the Bible. Start having a desire to learn the Bible. And just like a baby, Brian, when David was born and Tammy Lynn was born, they had milk. You had to feed them. You feed them bottles, right? And you they then and I see little Big Eddie there. Eddie was always big, but he's little. Okay, you know what I'm saying? We call him Little Eddie, but there's nothing little about him. Amen. But when Little Eddie was small, he took milk. But as he got older, he likes meat, and potatoes, and pizza. Amen. He liked it so much he became a chef. He cooks his own food. Actually, Mom's been away. I think he's been cooking for him and Dad. And Dad seems like he's doing all right. But see, that's how God wants us. He wants us to start with the milk. And then as we get growing, now we can have mashed potatoes and gravy, roast beef, chicken, lasagna. Amen. How many are still with me? Well, I'm going to be hungry before this day's out. Whew. Boy, did they have food there last night at that dinner. But God says, okay, just like, so look up here. Many times God just relates us to children. In our own, between a relationship between a child and the father and the parents, so we can understand. So he says, you see that newborn baby? How that's how I want you to desire. How the baby, when a baby cries, there's usually only three things wrong with a baby when they cry. I bet you girls can tell me. Number one, wet diaper. Number two, they're hungry, right? Or three, something's bugging them. Something's not feeling right on them. Spoiled. You're right, spoiled. Yeah, because a lot of times you pick that baby up and the moment you pick up, thank you, mommy. What I'm saying is God says you can relate to that. He said that's the same way you are. That's the same way I am. When we get saved, remember how the baby desired to have that milk? I want my bottle. God says, just like you wanted that sincere milk when you were a young baby, I want you to get the milk of the word and have a desire for it. And then as you get, the more you take the milk in, you're going to grow. And I'm going to give you some bigger stuff. Once you get the milk in you, I'll give you some bigger stuff and some stuff you can chew on. Amen. Hebrews 5:14 says, strong meat belongs to them who have, through use of exercises, have exercised their senses. But strong meat, Hebrews 5:14, I believe it says there. I didn't have that plan. It just popped my head while I was talking to you. But if you want strong meat, you got to have the milk first. Nobody goes, no, little baby Wade, I guarantee you, is going to drink milk way before he eats hamburgers. Nobody starts eating pizza at the start. Even Chuck didn't. Chuck had baby milk. Amen? And then you go from milk to the bigger stuff. Okay, look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know that these things before, beware. God's saying, watch out now, beware. I'm trying to get your attention. Lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked, that fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. Do you think God wants us to grow in grace? Amen. He does, doesn't he? How many believe God wants you to grow in grace? Amen. Look up here. Bill, you just got saved not too long ago. Next year from now, God wants you to be closer to him than you did this year. He wants every one of us, every year, he wants us. You remember? How many remember when we were kids? My grandma used to do this with me. Now, maybe they did with you, but when I was a kid, Josh, when we were growing up, Mike, my grandma had a little thing in her house, and she put a pencil on, they just saw me go right up the thing, like, I'm Gary, I bet they had fun with Gary, because he's way up here, amen, you know? Did grandma do that when you was a boy, Gary? Remember how they used to mark? Remember how, say, look how much you're getting bigger? God says, hey, just like they used to mark, every year of your life of Christianity, I want you to mark a little higher. I want you to reach a little higher. I want you to grow a little bit more every year. And by the way, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't, as Christians, we don't grow, and we're supposed to. That means we're backslidden. That means our life was stagnant. That means we didn't pray and study and serve like we should have. Amen? When we don't grow, that means we had stunted growth. There's a reason for stunted growth. And usually it's malnourishment. People that are malnutrition, their growth is stunted. Hello? People that are not fed good, they get rickets and all kinds of bad diseases, and they don't grow because they're undernourished. Are you still with me? If we do not study this Bible, we will be undernourished and we will not grow. Folks, look up here. We have to desire. Boy, when I was Joshy Sales age, you could not believe the desire I had to learn, Josh. I would stay up all during the day and night studying, and everywhere I went, I took my Bible with me, and I'd fall asleep listening to tapes at night. I couldn't get enough in. I'd go to Bible college for 4 hours a night, and then I would tape all the tape the classes, and then I would come home and listen to the tapes. I just couldn't get enough, and that's why God says, if you want to grow, you got to get in. You got to get. You got to go. We put out Miracle Grow on our grass, don't we? Right? This is Miracle Grow. So, God says, I want you to grow. So how many believe God wants us to grow in grace? All right, now, so if we don't grow in grace, is it God's fault or our fault? Okay. Now, look what it says there. The membership of a church assembly must be a saved membership. So what does saved mean? The word saved is a good biblical term. And he put down one of my favorite scriptures. Look at Acts chapter, remember the Philippian jailer? Look at Acts 16, it's just a tremendous scripture. The book of Acts. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures. And don't worry how fast we go, just that we get something as we go. Amen? Acts 16. Remember Paul and Silas, they were in prison? How many remember that? And God comes down and the angel releases them, and the jailer thinks he's had it. Well, let's pick it up at verse 25. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Suddenly, boy, it's good that people hear what we have for Christ. Don't keep your faith in. Keep your faith out. Let people know what you believe. Let people know you have a faith in the Savior. Amen? I'm not ashamed of Christ, are you? And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. Wow. That would be something. All the chains fell off. What's even greater, Mike, they didn't run, though. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of sleep, and the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself because he knew if the prisoners escaped, he would be held accountable. They were going to kill him anyways. Supposing the prisoner has been fled, but Paul cried out with a loud voice. I'm glad my voice is loud. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Even the lost people were there. That's the power of God. Amen? Because most of them, in a normal, if you're in prison and the chains fall off and the doors open up, use them. They're like Larry Moe and Curly. Oh, boop, 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 boop. They're gone, buddy. Right? But they didn't. They stayed right there, every one of them. That's the part. And it's at nighttime, too. They wouldn't even have been seen. Because he called for a light. Oh, are you with me? Remember, it's midnight. Are you with me? And sprang and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. Wonder why he went to Paul and Silas. Because they were praising God, had testimony for Christ. Do you think Paul? I wonder if Paul and Silas preached to those people. I bet they did. Bet there was a lot of people who got saved. And look what he says in verse 30. And he brought them out. He brought Paul and Silas out of their cell. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Are you saved? I ask people, are you saved? That's a biblical word. Don't be afraid to use that. Are you saved? By the way, people that really are saved, usually they'll know. They'll say, yes, I am saved. I believe me and Coolidge were going up the elevator one day at one of the hospitals. It was for Holly there about a week or so. And I asked the lady, Coolidge witnessed to him, and I said, are you folks saved? She said, yes, we are. I don't remember where they said they were from, but do you remember where the Coolidge? They responded, yes, we, lady said, yes, we are saved. I said, you know Christ? She said, yes, I trusted him. I said, amen. And people that are saved, they're glad they're saved. And it's a good word. Don't let the world keep that word from. It's a great word, saved. Look at verse 30. What must I do to be saved? Look at the answer, verse 31. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And all thy house. And by the way, he did, and so did his whole household. They all trusted Christ as their Savior. It's amazing. They had like a little revival there. Look up here. Yesterday at the funeral home, I just gave the plan of salvation. I just preached about Christ. I mean, my whole focus, I said very little things about Holly. I just preached because we had a lot of people give testimony, and I said, I don't need to say a whole lot about Holly. They've already said it. I'm going to tell them about Holly's Savior. And I just preached Christ. I used the Gospel of John and Romans and stuff like that, and I just was plain dogmatic. There's a heaven, there's a hell. Christ came and died for you, and if you want to go to heaven, you have to have Christ. If you don't, then you're going to go to hell. And I said, there's no unbelievers in hell. I told them that, in case there was any Jehovah's Witness there. Because, by the way, even though the Jehovah's Witness say there's no hell here, when they die and go to hell, they'll tell you there is a hell. There's no unbelievers in hell. They're out crying right now, hell's real, hell's real. And I gave an invitation, Tom. And over 20 people, and I let them in a sinner's prayer. And I said, if you just say this prayer and mean it from your heart and believe on Christ that he died for you, and I let them in, and over 20 people trusted Christ. That's what it's all about. We don't have to make it. Yes, sir.
You did what you could do. In that circumstance,
yes.
You couldn't
No. No, there was no way I could come up with 20 people. Mike, no, I didn't have enough workers, so I just did it as one big group. And 20 people asked Christ, over 20 people. I'm convinced of that now. They were all on both sides of the building. And you're going to see some of them here today because several of them told me they're going to be here this morning. And some of you people were even at the church at the service last night. You saw them, and so what? When people say, "What does it mean to be saved?" Here's what it means to be saved. You got to realize that Jesus loves you, Mr. Sinner, and you got to realize that He died for your sins on the cross, and you got to realize that He suffered for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. And on the third day He arose. He was God's payment for our sin. There's nothing hard about being saved. And all you got to do is say, Jesus, I want you as my Savior. That's what that little girl did, Holly. She came to Vacation Bible School. You know I'm glad about Vacation Bible School. I don't know which one of you, it could have been Belinda, could have been Diane. I don't know what, it might have been Ruthie Hill, might have been Mary McDaniel. I don't know which lady led Holly to Christ. And I don't know if I could even find the papers anymore because it's probably back like 94, 95. But one of you ladies that have been members here, several that are soul winners here, One of you ladies led that little girl to Christ. Isn't that exciting? And Bruce, now she's in heaven. And even though she died, Hebrews said, over there in 11:4, I think it is somewhere in there, it says that even though dead, her life still speaketh.
Yeah, amen.
And she was dead yesterday, Brother Carey, and her life was still speaking. Yep. Isn't that something? And so through her death, we're going to see many people come to Christ. And by the way, remember, those 20 got saved. I think when I preached Chuck's dad's funeral, didn't some people get saved at your dad's funeral, Chuck? I thought they did. Was you saved at that funeral, Chuck? Yes. Okay. But I thought somebody got saved at your dad's funeral. I couldn't. So you told me something was special about it. But anyways, no matter what, like there was 20 that said they got saved. How about the 170 that heard? God's word never goes out void. There might be some today that we might never know, Mike. They might ask Christ to say, we might never see him. Wouldn't that be? And we get to heaven, they'll say, why? Why? Hello? And so don't make being saved hard. Just tell people, man, Jesus loves you and you need him to get to heaven. Amen? And what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't have, it's not nothing about religion, not being a Baptist, not being baptized, not being a good person, not buying Girl Scout cookies, although it's great to buy them. And Sonia Edwards will sell you some because she's got them. They taste delicious. If you don't want them, buy a box, I'll eat them. And or we'll send them one of the missionaries. I'm a missionary to Ravenna. But how many are glad you're saved? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, look at Romans 10:13. The Bible says, look at Romans chapter 10 with me. Move up one book. We're talking about the word saved. It's biblical. Don't be afraid to use that word saved when you're talking to people. It's in the Bible. It's scriptural. That's what I'm trying. The word saved is a Bible name. It's a Bible word. It's scriptural. It's God used it. Look at Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, I can quote these scriptures, but I want you to see them. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See, it's all in the heart. Nothing in the head. It's all in the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. No, they all got to be saved. They're all saved the same way. They got to trust Christ. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all call upon him. Look at verse 13. For whosoever, that means I told those people yesterday, I quoted this verse. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're, listen, because some people say, well, God will never save me. I did this. God will save anybody. God will save anybody, anywhere, at any time. All they got to do is call on him. For whosoever, who's that mean? Means you. Means me. A song. Whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. All right? So who does whosoever mean? You're right. Say me. Whosoever means, who does whosoever mean? You're right. It does mean you. Shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. So I heard the bell. We're going to quit here. But trust me, whosoever will, all you got, you can be saved. How do people get saved? They call on the Christ. Look at one last scripture. I know both bells rang, and I'm going to be done here in just 1 minute. John 3:16. I got to close on that. Can't leave without doing that. And we'll pick it up there next week. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You want to live forever? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For God sent not a son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. Hold on to your Bible lessons. The reason Jesus came, so you could be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer before we'll break for 5 minutes, but let's break. Let's bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. Right before we leave, I'm wondering how many people could say, Pastor, I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven and I wouldn't go to hell, because there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner and I asked Christ to save my soul. If you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, could you raise your hand? I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure. And by the way, I won't come to you. I promise you, I will not come to you, and I won't. No one's looking. But you're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, and I am concerned. Would you pray for me? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Well, let me say this to you. If you're not sure, you could say this prayer like I did back in 1969, or little Holly did years ago at Vacation Bible School. You could just bow your head right where you're at and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you arose. And Jesus, please come into my heart, save my soul from hell, and take me to heaven when I die. Jesus, I'm trusting you the best I can right now. By faith, I'm going to trust you by my faith that make you my Savior. And Lord, to this day, I'm going to trust you right now as my Savior. Amen. And if you do that and you mean it from your heart, Christ will save you. For whosoever, I don't care what you've done, he's already died for all your sins. I don't care who you are, he's already done it. Right before we leave, did anyone say that prayer this morning? If you did, raise a hand. Let's let me see it. Anyone say that prayer? Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this Bible class, this discipleship course. I think we got off to a great start. Please bless all our people, I pray. Lord, bless the preaching service to come, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll break for 5 minutes. We're going to have to...